Time for Wednesday's hour number two on Hashtag Daily K with your host, Peter Bint.
Korean dramas, movies, and even lyrics. Why is the world paying attention to Korean stories?
From classics to modern masterpieces, time to dig deep into the charms of Korean literature.
Check it out.
With Paul.
Yes, yes, yes. So every Wednesday at this hour, we introduce various Korean literatures to you and talk about the Korean culture implications. And today, of course, guys, as I always mention, he is the king. The king is in the studio.
It's Elvis Presley! Yeah.
Yes, yes. It seems like I've seen you yesterday.
Well, the day before yesterday.
The day before yesterday. What happened?
We had a strange encounter on Monday. I was off to the local supermarket, and Ivan was walking his dog. Just happened to cross paths because we do live in the same neighborhood.
Exactly.
But it's the first time we've actually encountered each other in the wild.
Wait, how long have you been living in that district?
I've been there like 6-7 years.
I've been there like 10 years.
Yeah, and yet it's the first time to bump into
each other. I was walking my dog and I was like, who is that guy? Like, it seems so familiar. And I was like, it's gotta be Paul.
And I was like, who's that weirdo with the dog?
And my dog was so loud. He was barking at you, right?
Yeah, but your dog is very, I have to say, you've got a very cute dog.
Thank you.
He is a cutie pie.
Thank you. I think he really liked you too.
He barked a lot.
Yeah, well, he does that to people he adores.
He smelled the cats on me, okay? He smelled the cats.
That probably is a reason why. But anyway, so good to have you here.
Very good to be here.
And happy Valentine's again.
Happy Valentine's Day. I want to say thank you for the chocolate, Ivan.
No,
Peter has never given me Valentine's or White Day chocolate.
That is awful.
Are you coming in next week?
I am. Next Monday.
On Wednesday?
Not Wednesday.
Oh, you mean I've got to go with Stinky Peter again?
I know you'll miss me very much.
I will miss you a lot.
But still, it's going to be a lot of fun again.
It will.
Last week, you took into this like dark, mystery kind of romantic like
revenge.
Book. It was Tongue, right?
Yes, it was Tongue.
And if I'm remembering correctly, you said it's like a warm-up for the singles, right? For today.
Yeah, because today's Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
But are you not going to ask me about the hashtag of the day?
I will, but like, okay, here it is.
Skip over it.
No,
there is this tradition.
I don't want to like take away your time because I love listening to your excerpt. But still, okay. To make it like in a nutshell, okay? Today we talked about 소문난 잔치에 먹을 것 없다.
Yeah.
Like big feast turns out to be nothing, right?
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to add to this?
Sure. When I think of 소문, you know what I think of?
Who?
Small door.
Huh?
소문.
소문.
소문. Small door.
I'm going home, guys. Just to give you a little bit of a side note, 소문 is a rumor. If you put them, like, if you kind of like split the two words, 소 is small, 문 is door, so it's like small door. You see that door over there?
Yeah.
You can walk out right now.
Oh, happily do that.
No, please say.
You know where else you can hear a lot of summons?
Where?
On the farm. 소문. So I've got a Valentine's Day book today.
All right, take us away, please. Cannot stand this.
It is Valentine's Day. And so last week it was for the singles. This week it's for the couples. I've got an epic classic romance. It is called 벽공 무한. Endless Blue Sky.
Oh.
It's by Lee Hyo-seok, who's one of the most celebrated sort of writers of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
Translated by Stephen D. Kapener. And we get our hero, Ilma, who in my mind looks a little bit like you. I was imagining you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ilma is heading into Manchuria on his way to find love.
Am I on the train?
On the train.
Okay.
Jealousy, retribution, and more.
Okay. Now you're saying that in your imagination, Ilma kind of resembles me.
Yeah.
All right. When did you read this book?
This week.
This week?
Yeah.
So it's
for
fresh.
The show.
It's so fresh.
That's why I thought it was you. I was I imagine it's Ivan.
Looking forward to it. What about the author then?
Lee Hyo-seok. Are you familiar with Lee Hyo-seok?
No.
Okay. I think it's because you were studying outside of Korea.
Okay.
But if you were in Korean school, I'm sure you would have read When Buckwheat Flowers Bloom.
Oh, how does that translate to Korean?
I don't remember.
buckwheat flowers. We'll check it out later on during the break.
Very, very famous story. It's set in his hometown of Pyeongchang, because that is the home of buckwheat.
Oh, no way.
In fact, his hometown has the Ihyeosok Cultural Village and Memorial Hall. They have an Ihyeosok Festival every year themed around buckwheat because it's such an important story. So he was born in Pyeongchang in 1907.
Okay.
And he was publishing his poetry, his stories at university while he was in Seoul and continued to write. Sadly, he died really young. He was only 35 when he died in 1942. But he left us with one, When Buckwheat Flowers Bloom, but also with this incredible novel that feels like it could have been written last year. Mm. It's really sophisticated. It's really modern, but it's also dealing with that period in the 1930s in Korea, looking at a different angle of it.
Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to dig into the film. I mean, not the film, the book. I'm so sorry.
I'm not a film enthusiast. Sorry.
I'm so sorry. Okay, book.
There's
no
film section on hashtag Daily K.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. But again, all the comments coming in right now, I just want to make sure we read this right now.
Yes.
Okay? People are saying, 너무 웃겨요. Yana is like, 너무 웃겨. To all this whole, the cow moves and everything. Hartley's Ivan, come on, hit back with apple pizza.
No pizza talk this week.
No pizza talk today. Okay. All these like buckwheat. What about buckwheat? So you're telling me that Pyeongchang is the region known for buckwheat.
Pyeongchang was one of the homes for Korea's Winter Olympics just a few years ago, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
If you go there, and I highly recommend you do, their staple food is buckwheat.
Is it?
So you get the buckwheat noodles, the makguksu, the cold buckwheat noodles. You get the buckwheat rolled pancakes, filled pancakes, the jeonpyeong, they call them.
Okay, never tried it.
Absolutely delicious.
Okay.
And buckwheat is also very healthy.
Of course.
Yeah,
buckwheat.
So it's a great place to go. But we're not heading to Pyeongchang today. We're heading to Manchuria.
Yes. Let's get back to the translator, please, then.
Yeah, Stephen D. Kapener. It's our first time featuring him. He's not sort of your regular translator. He's actually a professor. He's also an ex-Taekwondo champion.
No.
Yep. That's what brought him to Korea back in the 90s.
What?
He was almost going to be in the Olympics in 88, but he had an injury, I think, and he couldn't participate.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and so he studied here. He got a couple of PhDs. And he actually translated this book as part of his PhD in Korean literature at Yonsei University.
He's my senpai then.
Yeah. Mm. That was 14 years ago, and it only got published in 2018. So now it's out there. He's still teaching. I think he's at Seoul Women's University. He's previously lectured at Ewha Women's University.
Wow.
So he's lecturing in translation and literature and Korean literature, English literature, and the book's great.
So the former Taekwondo champion, now a literature teacher.
Why not?
It's amazing.
Athletes can be really smart.
Of course. Like, it's, you know, up there at their level, they're all intelligent people who can really get their hands on it and everything and become an expert. So I think we are all pretty much buckled up and ready for the first excerpt.
Yeah, we're going almost at the very start of the book, and we're joining Ilma on the train as he heads out of Chosun, out of Korea, into Manchuria.
Into Manchuria. Guys, imagine myself, if you're looking at the YT channel, right, imagine me on a train with Paul narrating the situation.
Yeah, so if you could just do this for the next 3 minutes.
I'll be doing this. Okay, let's go. Let's check it out together.
Happiness. For the first half of his life, just how well had the goddess of fortune looked after him? The 16 years he'd spent in school had been by no means favorable. Rather, they were a time of uncertainty and anguish. Even once he had finished school, it was not a path to easy advancement and success that awaited him. Following his own path in search of work, to his liking, had brought him to try his hand at today's unconventional and somewhat absurd business. But it was a wholly original and arduous path, with neither predecessor nor guide. Far from smooth, the first half of his life had been crooked and thorny. Even failing at his first love paled in comparison to the tragedy he had suffered just a few months ago, the loss of his mother, the last living member of his immediate family, had dealt his spirit a crushing blow. He felt it was his final misfortune. He'd gone to her as soon as he received the telegram, but she was already in critical condition. Being alone, she'd gone to live with a close relative, and it was there that she'd fallen ill. The fact that Ilma had put off living with his mother until his own life became more stable at which time he had planned to bring her to Seoul to finish her life in peace, made his grief all the greater. He was beside himself and merely cried inconsolably at her sickbed for several days. His crying turned to wailing when, in her final hours, he realized the depth and consistency of his aged mother's love. In her will, she had left him a small plot of land. Though too insignificant to be called a fortune, she had held on to it for all those years. Trifling as it was, it pained Ilmar to his bones. But as death is a natural part of life, he simply had to deal with his feelings and wipe away his tears. Putting the past behind him, Ilmar summoned all his courage. He sold off his inheritance, said farewell to his relatives, and returned to Seoul as if being chased by something. He was now truly alone, with no one to care for and no one to care for him. But even amidst suffering and death, life goes on. He gritted his teeth and was swept back out into life. That's all in the past. I hope this is the end of my misfortunes as well. In fact, Ilmar began to feel a keen premonition that this would spell the end of his ill fate. When he stepped out into the streets with the money from his inheritance, the desire to embark on some new enterprise welled up within him. This was partially what brought him to agree to his present duties as a cultural envoy with an unprecedented combination of anxiousness and expectation. In the deluxe first-class car today, his expectations once again soared, and he thought this trip, begun holding a bouquet, was heading straight for happiness. A new heart, a new beginning. This thought kept coming to him, making the scenes passing his windows all the more to his liking.
Arirang.
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 Arirang Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We are in our segment, Check It Out with Paul. And I believe we have some comments coming in, right?
Oh, we do. I've got one from Nessa who's saying, what's the title of the book so I can buy it? Okay, Nessa, I'll tell you. The name is Endless Blue Sky. Endless Blue Sky
Endless
is the name.
Blue Sky.
Yeah, and the author is written at Lee, L-E-E, Hyosok, H-Y-O-S-E-O-K.
Lee Hyosok, okay. So make sure you guys get the book, Endless Blue Sky. Yana also says, a journey that takes bravery. I wonder how brave our Ivan is to take the journey.
Oh, Ivan's very brave.
I'm not sure what to say about this, but, you know, taking on this temporary host as Peter,
yeah,
it required a lot of bravery.
But also, you know, to be a singer,
oh, that's
to
so
stand
true.
On
yeah.
stage, to be a musician and to, yeah. you know, to sing and play in front of people.
That's so true.
That takes a lot of guts.
It does. And it comes with practice, right?
Of course, yeah.
But anyways, you took us through this whole opening of yeah. The Endless Blue Sky.
Sure, he's had a tough life so far.
And I already feel so sad because I was resonating with him.
But it's okay. It's okay, things are going to get better.
Will it?
Really? I can promise you now.
So far, all I've been reading is loss of his mother.
Yeah, but sometimes when you start a story, you need to start in a bad place so you can get to a good place.
So can I expect something brighter
it's
on
coming.
The second half?
It's coming very soon.
Okay. Well, okay. Do you want to take us away right
sure.
away?
Sure. So he's on the way to Manchuria, to Harbin. And he's a cultural envoy, as he said in the excerpt. And what he's going to go there to do is to negotiate the invitation of a symphony orchestra there.
Oh.
He's working for the Hyundai Daily newspaper at the time.
Oh, so he's a reporter?
Not quite. He's this cultural envoy.
Cultural envoy.
So, yeah, they're looking to invest in this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's feeling good. And he's feeling a little bit lucky. And when everyone gets their ID checked by the railroad police officer, he gets picked up. They look at his ID. They mm-hmm. chat. The officer notices he's got a lottery ticket from Manchuria in his wallet that he purchased the last time he was there. And the officer's like, yeah, we all play the lottery. and it makes him feel good and it makes him feel lucky. Like this is the chance for a fresh start.
Okay. But just before we carry on, do you yeah. want to explain to our listener where Manchuria is?
It's China, basically. We're talking about the northeastern part of China.
Northeastern part of China.
Because during the Japanese occupation, mm-hmm. there were parts of China that were occupied by Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many Koreans who were actually living and working in China.
I see. So northeastern part of China.
Yeah.
That's where Ilmar is headed right now.
Yes, to Harbin.
Sounds good. Okay.
There is a slight hitch, though. because he's on the train. Somebody comes up behind him and puts a hand over his eyes and is like, guess who? And it turns out to be this woman named Dan Young. And she's a movie star, mm-hmm. and she has a big, big crush on him, and she is intent on pursuing him, and he is not interested in her.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so she's got on the same train as him. He's like, no, no.
Get away from me.
And Peter, no. She's like, oh, come on, we'll be great together. And she even taunts him, like she mentions his first love, Medea.
No way.
Yeah, she's not a nice person. Oh, and we'll see it a little bit later.
She's sly.
Yeah. Mm. Meanwhile, back in Seoul, we find out about Medea.
Okay, what happened to Medea?
Ilma's friend Jongsae, who works at the same newspaper, he's a journalist.
Okay.
He goes to see Medea and her husband, Yuman Hare, because he's trying to get investment for this orchestra project in Harbin, and also they want to set up a music academy.
Oh.
And the couple are interested. And then when Medea hears Ilma's name, because they did have a connection before, but now she's married, she seems affected in some way.
I see where this is going now.
Do you? You might not.
Okay, take us.
Because it takes another twist.
Okay.
Ilma arrives in Harbin, and we find out he gets really lucky. So number one, he gets to see the girl he loves. And her name is Nadia.
Nadia does not sound Korean.
Yeah, she's not Korean. She's a Russian dancer at a cabaret.
Ooh.
And they're like dancing every night. He saves the last dance each night for her.
Oh.
And the negotiations with the orchestra are going well. The lottery ticket, he wins.
He wins
10,000 won, which is a huge amount of money back then.
What?
You know, we're talking about thousands of dollars of the equivalent nowadays.
Oh my gosh. So everything's like working out for him.
Yeah, except that. As soon as he wins, the rumors are spreading back to where Dan Young got off the train in a different town, and she hears that he's won the lottery, and she's like, well, that's it. I'm going after him. And she brings along her film director, Myung-dol, who's a bit like, he's a bit of a schlub. He's a bit of her servant almost in the way he acts towards her. He's willing to do anything.
So now all these love twists.
Yeah.
And now money involved.
Exactly. So we have Nadia, we have Mirio, and we have Dan Young. And Ilma and Nadia, they're so happy together. They're getting closer by the day. But one evening, they're off to the nightclub. They're dancing on the dance floor. They're having an amazing time. But guess who steps on the dance floor? Dan Young and Myung-dol. And they're trying to cause a bit of a fuss.
Oh.
Dan Young's trying to bump into them.
Oh, the master plan is suddenly taking place, isn't it?
I wouldn't say it's a master plan. I don't think she's that clever.
Oh, I see. Take us away for the second next. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah. This is where we're on the dance floor.
All right, Pin-nim, let's check it out.
The best way to ignore Dan Young was to look at Nadia. So he fixed his gaze on the back of her shoulder and hugged her even more affectionately. He put his face in the nape of her neck, could smell the fragrance of her hair. While losing himself in that fragrance, he thought about nothing but seeing Nadia in front of him, feeling nothing but Nadia. Holding Nadia carefully like she was a bouquet of flowers, he moved away from the center of the crowd and danced around its fringes. This further incited Dan Young. Assuming a prim air, she pulled Myung-dol around like a cow. It happened when Ilma had reached the band. Eyes half closed, still lost in Nadia's perfume. A sudden collision almost sent them sprawling. What do you think you're doing? Nadia demanded in an angry voice. Dan Young had swung her and her partner's bodies into them. In the face of Nadia's anger, Dan Young assumed a sulky air and once again grabbed Myung-do's hand. Why do you always have to be gadding about? But by the time Ilma shouted this, the other pair had started dancing again.
So what's it to you if I do?
Nadia responded to Dan Young's muttered remark with a disgusted look.
Who are they?
She's an actress or something, and the guy is president of a film company. Even though they don't look like much. When they're in Chosun, they put on airs as if they're famous. She's a poor excuse for an actress. The same goes for the president. It was a long, tedious dance. When the music stopped, Ilma quickly returned to his seat as if the thought of more dancing was too much for him. Dan Young and Myung-do quickly sat in Byeok-soo's seat. When Ilma did not even look at them, Myung-do, feet numb from dancing, said, "My apologies." He was referring to the bumping incident.
"He's not a very good dancer and doesn't see the people in front of him," Dan Young added flippantly.
"If it's such a big deal if people bump into each other when they're dancing, isn't smiling when someone bumps into you the proper etiquette?"
"Where did you learn that?" In response to Ilma's rebuke, Danyoung said, "Oh, are you still angry?" Face flushing, she took the conversation a completely different direction. "Introduce us." She meant, of course, that he should introduce Nadia. "You two seem to be very affectionate." Her sarcastic tone was annoying. "Why are you sticking your nose in my business again?" Ilma yelled. "Just like the saying, a woman in every port, you seem to have one everywhere you go. I didn't know that was why you came to Manchuria so often. It looks like you two already have a special relationship. You're acting like quite the gentleman, but it's clear to see you've quite the ladies' man. Of course, I don't count, but surely you haven't forgotten the name Namirio."
"Seems like you make it your job to worry about other people's business."
"Of course I worry. Why wouldn't I?" Nadia's curiosity growing at Ilma's rising voice and the conversation she couldn't follow. She spoke in a tone of annoyance to Ilma in a language only he could understand. "After her rudeness, why is she being so long-winded? This stupid actress is just acting like a fool."
So this dance floor is pretty much heated up.
It is, yeah, and there's a big argument. There's a bit of a spat.
Yes, I can definitely tell from your voice how annoying this lady is.
She is properly annoying.
Oh my god.
She thinks because she's a film star, she can do whatever she
exactly.
likes.
Exactly, and because she's with her, what was it? The
CEO? The president and the film director,
company?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's so annoying for Ilma. He gets her to back down, but she's still going to chase after him.
So Nadia is definitely annoyed by this situation.
Yeah, she wants nothing to do with this woman. Like, you know, she's happy with Ilma.
They want to walk away, but she's clinging on to them right now.
And also, she doesn't want to know about whatever's happened in the past.
Exactly. And then she's like, you're a, what was it? A ladies man?
Yes.
Pulling off wrong names to
Ilma.
Exactly.
So the next morning, Danyoung is really upset. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, how dare he? But her mood improves when she learns there's some horse races on.
Oh.
So she and Myeongdo go to the horse races, and she bets on a horse named Sun, and the horse wins.
Ooh.
She's like, bet the money again.
Okay.
But as she's watching the race, she gets distracted because looking through her binoculars, she spots Ilma and Nadia.
Again.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Meanwhile, Ilma's betting on another horse, Achilles, who keeps on losing. He keeps on betting on Achilles, and the horse loses again and again and again. Nadia's like, why are you doing this? He's like, no, trust me, it's going to win. And last race of the day, bets on Achilles one more time. Sun's been winning race after race.
Mm-hmm.
But final race of the day, Achilles wins.
Oh,
and
he was right.
The odds were really good.
Mm.
You know, nobody believes that Achilles could pull it back. So he walks away with almost 5,000 won on top of the 10,000 won he's won.
Oh my gosh.
He's a very rich man.
He's a very fortunate one.
Yeah, and it seems like his luck is not running out. Though Danyoung is still after him. She goes so far as to trick her way into his hotel room while he's out.
Hotel?
Yeah.
Who does that?
He comes back with Nadia and has to get the staff to kick her out.
Oh my goodness.
But he loves Nadia. There's no swaying him.
Mm.
Then we go back to Seoul. And we go back to the couple, Yoo Man-hae and Mi-ryo.
Yes. The first love, right?
Yeah.
Mi-ryo.
And Man-hae, the husband, he's very, very rich, but he's put all this money into a gold mine, like 2 million won invested in it. The thing is, it was meant to be the mine that was going to make him even richer, but there's no gold. There's so little gold there. He's losing his money.
The wrong investment.
Yeah, he decides to confront the guy who sold him the mountain, sold him this gold mine. And they meet in a giseng house.
The
gisengs are sort of the ladies who entertain. It's
right,
where you go for
right.
dinner or tea or drinks.
Yes.
And so they're in a private room, but there are rooms around them. They start fighting. A dagger gets pulled. There's a huge commotion. They both get wounded, and everybody sees. And it just so happens that Jongsae, the journalist, is in a different room at the giseng house.
So he's witnessing the whole thing.
He witnesses this, and he's like, I'm going to put this in the paper.
Oh,
this
my
is big
gosh.
News. Mane's hurt, not just physically, but also his pride is hurt. He sneaks off. One of the gisengs, who he gets on very well with, shall we say, Chungmae, takes him back to her place to sort of look after him.
Mm-hmm.
The story gets put in that night's newspaper coming out in the morning. He doesn't come home. Mi-ryo gets the newspaper.
Oh, no.
She reads about it. He comes home in the evening and she's like, what's going on? Number one, the fight. Number two, the mine. Number three, the giseng.
Oh, no.
So they have this huge fight. It ends with her leaving him.
Oh, no.
And then she's like,
Where do I do headed, now? Right?
Yeah, and that's where the third excerpt is going to come
as we get
to the middle of the book, and things are going to get more complicated.
The suspense right now. Now our attention is headed to where Mirio, Ilma's first love, who is married,
but now
having
separated.
An argument, exactly, leaving the home, and she's like, "Where am I headed to?"
Yeah. Mirio plopped down on the bed and buried her face in a blanket. Her bones ached and her body trembled. Why am I so sad? Feeling as if she was losing control of herself, she suddenly began to cry. She kicked her feet and sobbed like a baby. After the events that had changed her life in the house she'd been living in up to this point, she was suddenly overcome in that room by a tempest-like loneliness. It wasn't the house that she had left after being betrayed that she missed. Mirio, at that moment, had no idea what might be the cause of her desolation and emptiness. In the end, it was nostalgia. After awakening from her sleep, she was seized with a frightening feeling of nostalgia. She longed for a something and a someplace. Without knowing what or where, she was filled with a burning longing for something that was not the here and now. What is it I want? Ashamed of the way she was acting, Mirio dried her tears and changed her clothes. Feeling restless in her room, she came down the stairs and entered the lobby. She could hear music. People were passing the time before dinner listening to music. Mirio joined them. A duet was playing a light sonata by Mozart, but the clear, pleasant melody made her feel sad. Each strain of the music heightened her nostalgia and spoke to her dreams. To the dreamer, music is often a sad thing, but sad things are sometimes pleasurable. While listening absent-mindedly to the music and enjoying this kind of sadness, Mirio became aware of a man who had come and sat next to her. Realizing it was Kim Jong-se, whom she had met at her home, she could not feign ignorance. "I visited your home recently." Jong-se's earnest look of concern seemed to express what he wanted to say. "I know why you're here at this hotel. Newspaper reporters are second only to God in knowing what's going on in the world." That means that people already know what has happened, Mirio thought, and regarding Jong-se with trepidation, she tried to change the subject. "I'm afraid we've caused you needless trouble because of the Noksung Music Academy. There has been a setback which will affect things, but I assure you we will provide the support that was promised." "I was with Manhae the night of the fight, so I think I know what the setback is. No matter how things work out between the two of you, I hope that the Music Academy is completed as planned, as there are great expectations for its success. Due to this sudden urgent matter, I haven't had time to think about the project. Regarding that, there will be a chance to talk about it later. I'm busy today as well. Ilmar is coming back from Manchuria. I came to arrange a room." "Ilmar?" "Yes, he's coming back ahead of the symphony orchestra. He's not coming alone, so I must make arrangements for the proper room." Jong-se's words brought Mirio to a state of tension and caused her body to flush.
The classic twist.
Yeah. Happen. Two girls, one boy, mm-hmm. plus the psycho film star who really keeps on stalking him.
What happens to him, by the way?
I'm not going
to
tell you.
Okay, okay. Okay.
You've got to read it. This is halfway through the book, because why would I give away the end to
such an epic romance? Again, guys, this is Endless Blue Sky by Lee Hyo-seok.
Yeah.
For those of you who are curious right now.
And it's beautiful. It's gorgeously written and translated.
Is it?
Yeah. And if you're a big fan of romantic fiction and historical fiction, I think this is perfect.
Mm.
There were two books that brought to mind when I was reading this.
Okay.
I don't know whether you're familiar. One is Shin Kyung-suk's The Court Dancer.
Okay.
Which is a sort of an epic love affair between a French diplomat and a
Ooh.
Korean woman set during the late 1800s.
I think I've heard of it before.
Yeah, really good. Fantastic translation by Anton Her.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby.
Ah.
Yeah,
because now I see the point. Yes,
it's looking at this sort of high life, like this life, the rich,
the hotel,
and the famous,
right?
The hotels and
the
everything.
Music Academy, Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah.
All these fancy words, of course.
Because you're not here every week, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Peter is.
It's quite sad.
But everyone who listens regularly will know that when we feature classic fiction, mm-hmm. Very often it's focused on the poor. It's focused on those who were suffering under the Japanese occupation.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, because it's sort of that tradition
of
polemic literature of getting the point across and saying, we mm-hmm. will overcome. But this book, we get a very different view of what life was like for some Koreans.
Presumably upper class, I would say.
Yeah, we're talking about those who could afford to go to Manchuria, for example. Mm-hmm. Not everyone was suffering. Some were prospering. And so we get this insight into, you know, how this other half were living, whether it be the cabaret or the nightclubs, the horse races, the luxury. There are two sides to every story, and this offers us a very different view of Korea than I think other books have given us.
I see. So then, now I'm just like, you know, all these excerpts, I'm kind of getting curious. I know you're not going to tell me, but if you can hint at it a little bit, what's happening to Nadia?
You'll find out on page 364.
All right. So is it that long of a book?
Yeah.
Is it that thick?
That's not that thick. It's a standard novel.
That's true. That's true.
What I do really love about Nadia is this, you know, this book was written in the first half of the 20th century, mm-hmm. and yet it's dealing with multicultural relationships.
Mm.
You know, this is a Russian woman and a Korean man meeting in Manchuria mm-hmm. and falling in love.
Yes.
And, you know, the character of Ilmer as well, and the reason why I thought of you is that he's really open to everything. In the same way that you were talking about where you've lived and you spent a year in Scotland and go to Canada and so on, you have that world view that some people who haven't had your opportunities and experiences don't have.
I see.
And Ilmer's really open to what's coming in from other countries, other parts of Asia and Europe, from the West. And there's something in Mirio as well, this sort of, it doesn't have to be just Korean.
Okay.
There are other lives out there, and I can explore these lives and find what is the best life for me.
So this whole worldview does not really restrict itself to the peninsula, but rather a global worldview.
Yeah, and how Koreans were already looking globally back then.
Exactly, like back then.
Yeah.
When we're dealing with
and
this.
And too often we think of Korea being very closed off and shut off during that period of time. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the occupation was oppressive.
Of course.
But at the same time, we've talked on the show about the modern boys and the modern girls before. Who were dressing in Western style,
yes.
You know, dancing
the
in the clubs. Yeah.
Right.
This was all happening at the time. We think of ourselves in 2024 as being very progressive and being very mm-hmm. modern and very sophisticated. They did too.
Especially in the fact that we're dealing with like 30s and 40s.
Yeah, we're dealing with a really interesting time. You know, this is this period, not for all Koreans, but if we think of the world, a period of relative luxury and comfort and peace in between the two world wars.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I need to go start reading that book right away.
I think it's worth reading.
I honestly think so too.
You know what you need to do? You need to give it to your girlfriend for Valentine's Day.
Oh, that'll be perfect, right? Like, it will actually, like, giving gifts, I mean, book as gifts, is such a great way.
Because then you read it together. You have your copy, she has her copy. When you get to the end, or you get to chapter 9, you
Where's my book? Okay, one-line review, please, Paul.
An epic romantic adventure that takes us across North Asia.
Ooh, North Asia. Just across the borders, which is quite amazing.
Yeah.
And next week...
We're going from the rich to the poor. From romance
That's
to tragedy.
That's a big drop, yes.
Yeah, we're going for another classic piece of fiction. It's a short story. It's available online for free. It's called To Song Nang. It's by Kim Sa-ryang, and it's translated by Jamie Chang.
Ooh, To Song Nang.
Yeah, so you can find that online for free.
Interesting. I will unfortunately not be here next week.
I can't believe it. It's only been 2 weeks, Ivan. I'm not going to miss you so much.
Can I fill in for Peter just for one day?
Peter Nim. Can we hire Ivan next Wednesday?
That would be great. If ever I get to meet you in a Wednesday in, I don't know, like in September or something.
We'll see.
That'll be very
It'll come up again.
For sure.
And I should say thanks as always to the Literature Translation Institute of Korea for the help with copyright permissions for broadcasts. Thanks to Lee Hyo-suk for his beautifully realized story and Stephen Day Kapena for his excellent translation. I'll be back next week with another book.
Awesome. It was so nice to have you in.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you very much.
You can listen to Check It Out with Paul Matthews on Arirang Radio's hashtag Daily K every Wednesday from 10 a.m. KST.